Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You have to kind of play with that next play mentality. You know, you can't let one play affect you going on to two and three plays. So that was kind of my biggest advice to him is, you know, we just got to continue to the next play. And if it was a good play, great. If it was a bad play, you know, get it out of your head. Let's move on and let's get ready for the next play.
Cody White here. Talk about Tevin Jenkins, what he could tell his rookie left tackle. Here's how we do it here. Here's all you can do. Dust yourself off and play. Welcome in. Welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. The last hour of the last Saturday Suckage show of the year. And we're going to the Score hotline right now. Presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We welcome back to the show one of our favorites, Jim Schwantz. Jim.
Jimbo.
Jim.
What's up, guys? How are you this morning? I'm honored to be one of your last guests for the end of the year. That's high praise from you two.
Yes, it is. We wanted to see out the year in quality and style, and that's the way we're doing it. Jim Schwantz, you can hear him on the WBBM pregame, postgame, halftime show with Jay Hilgenberg and the inevitable Ron Gleason.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, and so we, as far as we know, the Bears are still scheduled to play the Vikings on Monday night. Mark and I were discussing something about, with all of the COVID issues and the way it affects the coaches, that Mark was saying, hey, this is Nagy's chance to go all Nagy, you know, regain the evil guy back in the, he's got the play calling to himself. The evil scientist is now all locked himself in there. And I said, that strikes me as one of the worst things that could happen to Justin Fields because, and I just go and look at the first play when your quarterback with broken ribs and you're going empty against the Packers. I don't know that Justin Fields is being helped by Matt Nagy, but Mark was making the point that Bill Lazor said when it was Tevin Jenkins' time to go in, his expectation, Bill Lazor's, was you need to play at this level. This
play is, good. This play well.
This is what we expect of you. I don't think they put Tevin Jenkins in a position to succeed. So what do you think about that discussion, Jim?
Well, I agree. It's completely irresponsible. And here's why. You know, Tevin Jenkins was drafted out of college to be the tackle for the next 10 years, left or right tackle, whichever one you put him in. And now he comes in with a back injury. The Bears feel like they can rehab that. They doesn't rehab well. They have to go ahead and do the surgery. So they do the surgery. And he's able to come back, pass all the medical tests, and get himself ready to play this year. Here's what he didn't have. He didn't have training camp, and they don't have padded practices. There is no hard practices anymore in the NFL. I remember my rookie year when they drafted Troy Aziin out of Cal with the second round. Nice. And I remember watching him do live one-on-ones, live. I'm talking back in the day when you did live with Richard Dent every day. And then, and talk about trial under fire. Here's a way for you to go out about. And I remember these veterans back in those days, they wanted to embarrass the young draft picks. They wanted to say, you know, look, you drafted this guy to be a star. He's not a star. I'm going to show you what it's all about. And the colonel put him through paces every single day in live one-on-one. I mean, it was must-see television during training camp. That and the Oklahoma drill. Those are the two things
yes.
everybody went to Platteville to
yes.
watch. And so you watch these. So Tevin Jenkins did not have that. He had nothing. He had helmets. You know, I remember when they activated him, it was a short week. It was a Thanksgiving Day week, so they didn't practice at all. They did walkthroughs. Even Coach Nagy said, we didn't practice once this week. We did walkthroughs the whole week. And then that was a short week. Then they were off until the following week, and then get ready to go up to Lambeau. So he didn't have any live practices. Maybe if he did, it was one padded practice. And I don't need to tell you late in the year what those padded practices look like. So Tevin Jenkins, zero training camp, zero opportunity, rehabbing a back injury. Go out there and let's go put you out in Lambeau Field where you can't hear the snap count, and you're going to be the start, and you're going to be the tackle for us. Good luck. Go get him. Nice job.
And you're going to be by yourself.
By the way, our franchise quarterback's got he's a little dinged up, so make sure he doesn't get hit.
So why did they do it then?
I don't know. I don't know, and I honestly don't understand. You heard after the game, talked about how many times they had chip protection, and they had guys in there helping. And, you know, I know there was one play where Montgomery was supposed to chip. He absolutely threw a no-hitter, absolutely did not touch the right defensive end, and Tevin Jenkins got beat because he looked like he set really hard to the inside knowing he was going to get help from the edge on a chip, and David threw an absolute no-hitter. So that didn't do him any favors. One of the sacks he gave up the other night. So, you know, and some of that's timing, some of that's working together, some of that all comes with plays and with chemistry. We talk about chemistry in the defensive backfield. We talked about a lot about that this year. We talked a lot about chemistry on the offensive line. Well, there's chemistry that comes with, you know, having a tight end next to you and chipping a defensive end, and then a running back coming from the second level to chip. And they didn't have any of that. So I honestly don't know. I don't know why. If he was it, I know they've got other options. But if they thought that he was the guy, and let's go and get you some of those invaluable game day reps, I think they just put a lot of people in harm's way.
So what about the idea of him starting this game against Minnesota, which he very well could? Is that a bad spot for him too?
I don't think it's a great spot, Mark, because I don't believe, again, that maybe they practice once in the, you know, they only have, I believe it's the number of padded practices doesn't equal the number of weeks there are in the season. So there's less than one padded practice a week is what they're allowed.
And nothing this week because it's just walk-through city, yeah.
Correct, because it's collectively bargained throughout the last bargaining agreement as far as how many padded practices are. So you know, maybe you had an opportunity to coach off the tape. You know, we hear that all the time, that we have some tape now that we can watch on him and critique him and show him what he's doing right and doing wrong. And I've said this before, and I'll say it as long as I have the ability to speak on these programs. There is nothing that can simulate game day reps. I don't care how hard you practice. I don't care how hard you go out in the exhibition season and play two or three series. There is nothing that can correlate to game day reps. So he got some game day reps, and those are invaluable, and he's going to need to play. Whether or not there's training camp next season and he can go through a full training camp experience to get himself an opportunity. But I believe, you know, these last, four games or whatever it is, he should have the ability to play. If he is going to be the tackle that you are going to count on, he should be the guy that plays. Now, if he struggles, you'll be able to tell that pretty early, the Minnesota Vikings don't have the defensive line they've had in the past. It's not a defensive line that absolutely strikes fear in you. It's not the purple people eaters coming to town. They're good. They're professionals, and there's some good players for sure. But you can certainly give him some help. And as much as the Bears don't like to use the tight ends in the passing game, leave them in. Leave them in. Take the E off the end of their designation of, as far as their position. They're no longer TEs. Make them just Ts. and make them stand right next to the tackle and stay in and max protect. And you know what? It's just as good of an opportunity to get somebody up because you need time. You know, as wildly inaccurate as Justin was Sunday night, a lot of that was because he was literally throwing off his back foot because he had pressure inside. We talk about how bad Tevin Jenkins played. The inside three didn't play very well either.
Our guest is Jim Schwantz. You can hear him and Jay Hilgenberg and Ron Gleason on our brother station, WBBM 780 AM, 105.9 FM, and it's Bears and Vikings and those who want to play. The comments from Jalen Johnson, I don't know if you heard them talking about, and saying it rather matter-of-factly, you know, you got the guys are tanking it in the locker room, and then the other half, and whether he said half or not, or he meant half or not, or some of the guys, it's he said it so matter-of-factly as if it was just a casual observation. Maybe he didn't know any better. Maybe he expected it. It's something that I think revealed a lot about a lot of the fraud of what the Bears consider their culture, but not wholly expected in a team that is 4-8, going on 4-9, going on 4-10. What do you think about that, Jim?
Well, people, you can tell in the locker room. You can. I've been in locker rooms where the season was over at this time of the year. I've been in locker rooms where we were getting ready for playoff positions and fighting for playoff lives. So I've been in both locker rooms, and I can tell you, you can tell when people care. You can tell that there are people in the locker room who care about winning, and that's in both types of locker rooms now. It's not just when you're losing. You can tell that there's guys in locker rooms on teams I was on that won world titles that literally just kind of punched the clock and didn't really put in the extra effort and weren't being those pros that we always talk about, those true professionals that you covet on teams. And you got to find the right people that lead that locker room that can even the guys who don't seem to care that much, it doesn't consume them. All things about playing in this league and the privilege that it is to be in the NFL, they've just been just God gifted from the time they put the pads on. As long as those guys are accountable on Sunday or Sunday night or Monday night or Thursday night or whenever you play or Saturday afternoon, then that's all you're really asking for. I've said this before. You got to find what motivates these players, and it's different things motivate different players. I mean, I was fortunate enough to play with guys who are in the Hall of Fame, guys who are the best that ever played the position, and they were motivated by different things. Rings, motivated by championships, motivated by being the best at their position, motivated by money. I mean, listen, Deion Sanders wanted to be the highest paid player, and guess what? On Sunday, he played, and he was an unbelievable player, and you could count on him. So whether Jalen Johnson's talking about the guys that, as soon as 5:01 rolls around, they're out the door, and there's in the locker room or in the film room, you've got a bunch of guys that are still grinding out extra tape, and those are the guys he wants to be around, or whether they're showing that kind of effort. Because when you watch the All 22, you can pick out guys who aren't giving max effort, and it's an embarrassment when you're in the NFL and you're playing at the highest level of sport that you wouldn't give effort. And if there's those types of players and they're seen on film, then he's absolutely right as a young kind of up and coming leader of this franchise to be on the on record as saying we didn't have guys that gave max effort.
Have you seen Bears players you would name names that are not giving max effort from what you've seen on film the last 3 years?
Not really. No, I haven't. I've seen guys that have done things, obviously the play that everybody kind of circled from Sunday night was the Justin Fields scramble out to the left. And for whatever reason, Allen Robinson stopped blocking down the field. I don't know why he stopped blocking. I don't know if he just kind of pulled up and kind of stepped out of bounds. I don't know if he thought the play was over. I don't know. I can't tell. I don't know if anybody ever asked Allen Robinson what was going on there. But that's the play I think that everybody's kind of circling. But no, there's nothing that I saw. I mean, the Kinderville door running out of bounds, somebody's got to know the rule. It wasn't an effort thing, but either if he doesn't know the rules, then Chris Tabor's got to make sure he tells him the rules. And if Chris Tabor told him the rules and he doesn't do it on, then he needs to be accountable. Those are the kind of things that kind of stand out.
Jim, what would you like to see different or more of out of Justin Fields going forward?
Accuracy for me, Mark. It's about making throws in the pocket. And we talk about what is college open, what is Big Ten open, what is professional open. And I want to see him make some throws, some of those professional throws. Put it on guys where they're not sliding to catch passes, where they're able to catch the ball and get after it. I mean, the throw, obviously the underneath throw to Damir Beard, to Bird was on the money. He caught it. It was what 9 yards in the air. I think his 2 touchdown passes traveled 10 or 11 yards in the air, I think, on Sunday night. So, those are cool and those are great. And they go on your stats and that's fine and good, but he's got to be able to throw the football in some tight windows. And I said it earlier, a lot of the reason why he was wildly inaccurate Sunday night was he had pressure in his face. And, you know, you're going to need to make throws in this league when you're getting hit. That's part of it. We think of the Justin Herbert throw last week against, or 2 weeks ago, I guess now, or last Sunday against the Giants, where he's literally within a split second of the ball being released, he is smashed, and he throws it 60-some yards in the air and puts it right on the money to Guyton for the touchdown. Those are the kind of throws that you got to make in this league, and you're not going to be clean. The pocket's not going to be clean. You need to move around in the pocket. You need to be aware of those types of things. And right now, I honestly don't believe he's in that position yet. And that comes with reps, that comes with training, that comes with being thrown in the fire. And you know, his ability to escape the pocket was on display Sunday night. He made some nice runs, some really good decisions. Look, would I love to see him split the safety in the corner on a cutback and go another 15 or 20 yards? Absolutely. Does he need to do it this year in the type of season the Bears are having and where this season's going to end? Absolutely not. Live to fight another day. You're not going to lose any respect in the locker room. You're going to be around to be able to lead this team for the next 10 years.
Our guest is Jim Schwantz, the Bears pregame show on our brother station WBBM 780 AM 105.9 FM. Jim, in this week's Tribune earlier this week, Dan Weider wrote an exhaustive and excellent piece on top to bottom, everything that's gone wrong, everything that is wrong, including sources talking about the way the Bears, in some sense, are pitied around the league. How's that for heritage, George McCaskey? And everything from the top on down is in question, should be on the table. There was a report that the Bears reached out to Jed Hoyer to talk about organization and the way the Cubs did it. Which basically, Theo came in and told Tom Ricketts, you keep Crane Kenny away from me, keep him on his side of the building. I'm reporting to you, Tom Ricketts. I'm not reporting through Crane Kenny. And the equivalent of that would be bring in a football guy. You bring in Bill Polian, and he's reporting to whichever random McCaskey is in charge, not through Ted Phillips. I don't know what you've said previously about Bears hierarchy, organizations. You've been around enough organizations. You've been in the good and in the bad. Which is the best way to run an organization in football, and how would you do it with this one?
Well, I mean, I think the Bears have done a job throughout the years. The McCaskeys of reaching out to people they believe and they respect to know the game of football. I think it was Ernie Accorsi the last time around, and they've reached out to those types of football people. And I don't believe this will be any different this time around, that they're going to reach out to the people that they trust, that they respect in the league, and try to make this thing right. And whether or not that happens, whether or not it doesn't happen, you know, some of the entrepreneurs who took over teams, a lot of it is ego. They get into it. They've got a lot of money. They've been successful in everything they've ever done. Hey, I'm going to try football, and I'm going to be successful doing football. So you got your Daniel Snyders of the world who come in and they're going to run everything and give massive contracts to people because they think that they know better than everybody else. You got the Jerry Joneses of the world who obviously made an unbelievable hire in Jimmy Johnson early on. And after that, it's just kind of fallen apart. And then you got your Paul Allens out in Seattle who have hired football people to run those organizations, and they've been successful at different venues. So it's just going to be a matter of whether or not the Bears can find the right people that they trust, that they respect, that are respected throughout the league, that can go out. And even if they do get the right people, even if they do hire the best football mind in the world and they come in and they do a top down reconstruction of everything, there's no guarantee it's gonna be successful. That's the other thing. I keep hearing these people say, sell the team, Bezos has to buy this team and then he's gotta come in. does that guarantee that the Bears are gonna be? I mean, obviously the McCaskies in Chicago are you know, vilified for not having a winning team. I love the McCaskeys. I have a ton of respect for the McCaskey family. I'm on record as saying that Virginia McCaskey's been nothing but kind to me and my family throughout my years as a Bear, and when I was not a Bear even, and everything that the McCaskeys done for me, I could never repay them. So as far as whether or not the McCaskeys decide to do what they're going to do, that's certainly something that they'll have the ability to make those decisions down the line. But there's no guarantees. What I'm driving at, there's no guarantees in this league. It is really, really, really difficult to pick the right players. It's really difficult to put together the right mix. And then, oh, by the way, by the time you get it right, it's time to redo it again. And that's the thing. It's continually changing. And that's why you look at what the Patriots are able to do year in and year out and just marvel at the way that organization is run. And they've got one guy that's really doing everything, and that's Bill Belichick. And he's obviously, there's only one of those guys on this planet.
So, you think the Bears will win on Monday night, Jim?
I am not picking them to win this Monday night. I just believe there's just too much turmoil. I believe what Jalen said. Where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, I believe there's something to be said about a young leader step into the microphone. You know, that's the second time he's kind of been embroiled in this kind of thing when he got fined for being late and he let that out. I mean, mm-hmm. This is a guy that's really doesn't have in a day and age where everything is shrouded in secrecy and trying to control the narrative. Here's a guy that's pretty refreshing. He comes out and just kind of says what's on his mind. And I know we've had an opportunity on our pregame show to listen to some tape of this guy. And I've really enjoyed kind of the things that he has said and kind of the way his perspective is, not only about how great he wants to be and where he believes he's going to be in this league, but what his teammates need to do to get to that next level as well.
Well, I think, because Mark brought it up earlier, the for whatever reason, the Vikings just don't.
The no Bears, fear factor.
Yeah.
There's no fear factor with this version.
The Bears have no fear of the Vikings because there's Kirk Cousins and there's like nothing there.
Dalvin Cook is scary, but
John Randall's not going to sit on somebody's chest.
Right. Randall, or Randy Moss not walking through that door necessarily.
And neither is Randall McDaniel. He's not walking through your center to get to your quarterback.
Hell, Wade Wilson and Tommy Kramer aren't even walking through that door at this point.
You're right, right. Justin Jefferson is, though.
He's Yes, he is.
Justin Jefferson's pretty good. Harrison Smith is on the back end of his career. He's pretty good, though. But you're right. There's nothing here. It's a team that's got some good victories. It's a team that I believe I've kept saying for 3 years now that they'll figure that defense out because that's Mike Zimmer's pedigree, and they just can't get it figured out. They figured the offense out for the most part. They just can't figure out that defense. So I don't disagree. I don't believe it's going to be it's going to be a very close game, but I just the way I kind of see this thing shaping up, I think unfortunately there's enough tools in the toolbox for the Minnesota, and they got enough to play for to motivate them to get the victory Monday night.
Yeah, they're still in the playoff picture, and they're a game under 500. And when you get to that point, like no matter what sport you're in, to get back to 500, that's a big that is a motivating factor, isn't it?
No doubt about it, and to just have things to play for. You know, this late in the season and, you know, 17-week, the 17-game grinder, 18 weeks, thing we've never seen before. And obviously you mix in the COVID stuff. It's just been an unbelievable season. And it is definitely, if it wasn't a marathon before, it is a absolute, maybe a super marathon this season for these players. They've never seen anything like it. And no way to prepare for this type of season, that's for sure.
Jim, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us this year. We appreciate
it. All right, guys. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, you both.
You
too.
Same
to you, buddy.
Jim Schwantz of the WBBM 780 AM 105.9 FM pregame, postgame, halftime show. He and Jay Hilgenberg and Ron Gleason, the inevitable one.
I put together.
Ben Scully called Ron and he wants his act back.
Hello there, sir. I did put together my list of Spielberg movies, so we eventually still want to do that.
We are. We're going to do that next.
We are.
Turned 75 today, Steven Spielberg. So we're going to talk about that. Good. Your five best.
Yeah.
Your list.
Yeah.
Mark, you put together a list like nobody I know.
The defining list maker podcast. Nobody puts lists together.
Mr. List Maker.
We actually came up with the concept of making lists. And as you say, make a list, start an argument. Right.
Right. And here we are. We're about to.
Let's do it.
Saturday Suckage. And this will involve Trash Panda. We'll get his generation gap.
I got a question. Are we doing... Are we doing just any movie he was involved with?
Yes.
Movies he directed or movies he produced?
Anything
or just all
where
the
his
above?
Name was
yeah,
on
yeah,
it.
Anything that where his name, where he is in charge or has a big piece of being in charge
okay.
of that
is,
movie.
Or okay. is credited to him in some way.
Here's what it is. Okay. Top five, and you could do an honorable mention, because I did an honorable mention. So
yeah, I did a whole second five. I was like, if I had to go longer, because there's so many.
I know. I'm all looking right. forward to hearing your guys' lists.
We'll get back to that. Mr. Listmaker himself, Mark Rohde,
that's
and
right.
the rest of us are just along for the scribbles and the asterisks and the footnotes.
I'll learn you.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is what happens. It indicates the non-frenzied feeding of a large squalus, possibly Longimanus or Asurus glaucus. Now, the enormous amount of tissue loss prevents any detailed analysis. However, the attacking squalus must be considerably larger than any normal squalus found in these waters. Didn't you get on a boat and check out these waters?
No.
Well, this is not a boat accident. There wasn't any propeller. It wasn't any coral reef, and it wasn't Jack the Ripper.
It was a shark.
You're gonna need a bigger boat. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde, and Trash Panda. There was Trash Panda show for about 15 minutes as Rohde wasn't here. The over and under... It was 5 minutes, and it was like minus 15 or minus 10 by the time he finally showed up.
While that was happening, I had a tremendous conversation with Demir Bird, which will air on WBBM tomorrow. Make that Monday night. So.
When will that be on WBBM on Monday night?
I believe it's pregame starts at 4 on WBBM radio. And in that hour, my one-on-ones this week were Demir Bird and Sam Mustipher. So, yeah, I think they're both pretty good. Pretty interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, Bears.
Well, that's what we will be doing, presuming the game still goes on. There's a lot of chaos about, with the COVID list, players, coaches, games getting moved all over the place. Now there's a Monday night doubleheader. Tonight, the Patriots-Colts game will be played, and you can hear it here on The Score at 6:45.
Oh, nice. Real nice.
Yep. So it's Brady against Manning. It's a classic duel. Patriots and Colts. That, you know what? Brady and Manning should do a Manning cast of a Patriots Colts game.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Steve.
And that's another thing. If you have YouTube TV, you won't see the Bears game Monday night. Because YouTube TV cut off negotiations with Disney. They couldn't reach an agreement. So they stopped carrying everything Disney carries, which includes ESPN, ESPN Plus, which includes the Manning cast. So you couldn't see, there won't be a Manning cast about Bears Vikings. God, I want there to be a Manning cast about the Bears games, but it wasn't. There won't be.
0 for 2.
But you need to figure out what you're going to do.
Right. This means that you get to go to a bar.
Right. Or you could go to Fubo TV.
Yeah.
But the way Disney is playing this, Disney wants everybody to go to Hulu because magically Hulu has ESPN Plus among all the other Disney products. You know why? Because Disney owns Hulu.
The dots have been connected.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
Anyways, that's what's going on.
One time I was, before I was in the business, no, I think I was in the business, but I certainly wasn't covering the Bears. I was just a Bears fan. Living with my brother in the city in Wrigleyville. and we woke up, rolled out of bed, you know, at like 11:45 to watch the Bears, and the TV, the cable was out, and we just looked at each other. We're like, we're going to Toons, which is a bar on South Park.
Sure.
Yeah, you know the place.
Yeah.
Put on some clothes, went to Toons, ordered beers, and watched the Bears. So that's what people might have to do. Yep.
Well, when you say it's on local TV, 630 Texter, it would be on local ABC, which Disney owns and took off YouTube TV.
Yeah, it's about the YouTubers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, so but why we heard, you may ask yourself, why did we hear that cut from Jaws coming back? Because the genius behind that turned 75 today, Steven Spielberg, 75th birthday.
Happy birthday, Steve.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Steve.
Happy birthday!
Always got a Simpsons answer, don't you, Studs? The Panda has
dropped for all of them.
More Simpsons drops than any producer in the history of the score, I believe.
Yes, more Simpsons per square
foot.
And footage.
That's not, there's nothing, no problem with that either, by the way. That is not a critique.
So what I suggest.
Go! Hey, you got to play the classics every once in a while.
I'm afraid.
Don't!
To go forward.
Let Steve talk. He's fragile.
No, I don't want
to. He's fragile. Look at him. Look at this man. Look at this man.
I'm already hard of hearing. You think it would be easy, but no, it just sort of jumps out of the bushes like that. So anyways, top five Spielberg movies of all time. They had anything to do with, right? Direct, produce.
Right.
Lend executive produce, lend his name to it, threaten to take his business elsewhere from the studio, anything he had something to do with. So, Mr. Listmaker, Mark Rohde, go.
Oh, I go first. Okay. I will go with, before Liam Neeson lost his daughter, and he's been trying to find her for like a decade now.
She's under the bed.
Yeah, and before he had special skills, he was a serious actor. And Schindler's List is number five for me.
Number five? We're counting backwards.
Yeah, I'm going five to one. Yeah, that's what you do it, right? You got to build it up. This is the, hey, I told you, I am the signature list builder because I have a podcast about it. You guys don't know how to do this.
No, we don't. I'm so glad that we started with the master.
Okay, so Schindler's List, because it emits a response from me. Like that part at the very end where he says, I could have done more.
Uh-huh.
Like every time. I am not necessarily a movie crier, but that gets me every time. So if you can emit a response from me, you are on my top five. So Schindler's List is number five. Number four, maybe my favorite horror film of all time, Poltergeist. Still holds up too, kids.
Yep.
That, I mean, it's just so good and like legit scary and everything. And like I said, like you could watch that now and it doesn't come across as cheesy. So that
there
is
he.
Oh yeah, right.
That was iconic. That was classic.
Yes, yes. So that's my number four. My number three is what we heard coming in, and that was Jaws. Which actually goes down in the genre of horror films, I think, doesn't it?
I don't know who's... You can make it so.
You can make
it's more thriller.
Yeah, thriller's probably a better word, but it can pass for a horror film. Just like unbelievable, the camera work in that, and the build up, and the like, just random shots on the beach would be scary, you know? And it's just such a well-made...
The thing about that and the discriminating use of Bruce the shark, that was the shark's name.
Oh, was it Bruce?
Yeah.
Okay.
Came about out of necessity. He was filming in the Atlantic Ocean. The Atlantic Ocean wasn't cooperating. The Atlantic Ocean didn't know Steven Spielberg was about to be Steven Spielberg. So they had to build, and they had very little success with the mechanical shark. So they had to use him judiciously, which turned out to be a great stroke of storytelling. That's how it came about.
You know, I was listening to a podcast just this last week, and they were talking about that, and they're wondering, like, would he make the same decision? Like, how would Jaws have turned out had it had been made more modernly, and he had the ability to modern technology to be able to put the shark in more? Because the movie was made better. Oh, I like, in retrospect, it's better that you don't see it more.
Right.
But like, how would it have turned out had he been able to do it the way he originally wanted to?
Interesting. So that's my number three. Again, Schindler's List 5, Poltergeist 4, Jaws 3. Catch Me If You Can is number two. I love that movie.
Why?
I just... I, I like rooting for the villain who doesn't seem like a villain because he's so playful, Leonardo DiCaprio, and his dad is kind of in on the act too. And then I just like Tom Hanks too. Like, these are two of my favorite actors to begin with, Tom Hanks and Leonardo DiCaprio. And just the whole, it takes you on a true like zigzag journey. And it also kind of makes you think, oh, I wonder if I could pull something. Like, can I pretend to be a pilot? You know what I mean?
That's the ingenuity is what I think Spielberg did really well in a lot of his movies. The genius of the characters.
Yeah.
There's something very smart about that. You were rooting for that villain because maybe he was smarter than the room.
Yeah.
Look at him one step. Wait, yeah. He's
not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, at some point you are, but the idea that you're rooting for them because there's a likability, there's an ingenuity about what they're doing.
Yeah.
I thought that was...
That's so true. All right, just so I don't want to hog up all the time here, so I'll just get to my number one. My number one is Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park is one of my... It would be on my top five movies of all time. Mm-hmm. I've always... Like, I never lost my childhood fascination of dinosaurs, first of all. Like, I'm a child in that. Like, I still like to just go on Wikipedia and at night and just, you know, look up random dinosaurs and read about them. The whole thing fascinates me. And then to have brought that to life as realistically as he did in that movie, like especially the first hour and a half, like the discovery process of that movie, when you first see the dinosaurs, when you first see the T-Rex, when you first hear the velociraptors in their cage, like there is something about the anticipation. Like, it gets a little bit silly towards the end, but just everything about that movie I still love to this very day. And the Jeff Goldblum character is just out of... Like, he's just great. He's just great.
So much time wondering whether you could or without whether you should.
Yeah. Yes. You are going to have a dinosaur.
That's a good list.
On your dinosaur.
I don't think you can make a bad list.
No, you're right. You can't.
Spielberg movies.
Raiders of the Lost Ark would be my honorable mention.
There
so
you
that's
go.
Me, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll discuss that later. All right. Trash Panda, go.
All right. So, because I'm glad that you brought up. So, we have to individualize series of movies, right? So, I can't just say Indiana Jones.
You can. Like,
okay.
You can't.
So, all right.
I mean, on its own, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
If I had to pick, we'll get to there when I get there.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Because
we'll allow anything.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah, we're going to allow anything.
Okay.
So,
the judges will not throw you out of the competition.
I'll start with, my first
number
one's going to be a series. Number five.
You can do it.
It's going to be Back to the Future. And I can't pick just one. I guess if I had to pick one, I'd do the first one because I think that's the best one.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole series, I think, is awesome.
And I remember, that's a great one.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I remember still, like, back when I was, I don't know how old I was. I was, like, preteen, maybe, like, 12 or something. When my mom first, I remember going to the movie store and renting, and she wanted me to watch Back to the Future. So we got Back to the Future, and I loved it. I was like, it wasn't very often that my mom would like force me, like, hey, we should watch this movie.
Uh-huh.
And I loved it. I was like, this is awesome. So,
and it almost had the right year for the Cubs winning the World Series.
Yeah, it's really close. Yeah. And I mean, the character of Doc Brown is like one of the greatest, still one of my favorite characters of all time. And all right, so that's my number five. For number four, I think I have to go Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
Which I actually didn't even really realize for the longest time he was a part of.
I didn't know that this more. I just found out now.
It's on his IMDb page, so I'm counting it.
Okay. Yeah, right. And you should. It's because and it was one of the main reasons Tommy Lee Jones was a part of it.
Okay.
That he wasn't sure he trusted much else.
He's executive producer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then that counts. I didn't know. I learned something today.
I went through growing up, Will Smith was like my favorite person on the planet. So I just watched, even like I would watch and love all of his movies. Like I even loved Wild Wild West, which in retrospect sucks as a movie, but Men in Black holds up. So Men in Black is my number four.
And you wanted a Neuralizer.
Oh,
didn't we all want the Neuralizer?
Dude, I wanted the sunglasses. I wanted the whole thing. I thought the sun was awesome. I loved that movie.
People of your age did like, I like that movie, but like really, that is a classic to people in your age frame, I've noticed.
Mm-hmm. That's and early on, like very imprinted in my childhood.
I've noticed that. And you're like in your 30s, yeah?
31.
31, yeah. Boom.
All right, number three. I got to make a quick spot. I got to go Saving Private Ryan at number three.
That's good.
because that movie is just
can't
awesome.
Make a bad list.
No, you can't. I mean, especially
Private Ryan is one of those, and so is Catch Me If You Can. Like, I rarely sit down just to specifically watch it, but if I catch it like on TV and I'll jump in wherever it's at, I will finish the whole thing.
See,
like,
those
I won't
are
change
yeah.
It.
You got Shawshanked. You got Godfather, or you got Goodfellas.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Me.
Like, I will watch. If I turn it on, I'm finishing it.
That first hour of that movie is just
very loud.
Very loud and gruesome.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it's a war movie.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve. I never saw it. My war movies are MASH and Stripes. Those are my war movies.
That's
I never saw that.
Well, the way that they elicit like you talk about eliciting a response, like the end of Saving Private Ryan, when they do the fast forward back to now, he's back in the graveyard and he's talking about, like, I did my best to earn.
Spoiler alert.
Me.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Steve hasn't seen it. He just told us.
When did that movie come out? Come on.
I can't believe you haven't. Why have you not seen that movie?
1998. The statute of limitations on the sports
movie
expired.
It's been 20 years. He's not a big war movie guy, huh, Stevie Sunshine?
Stripes and MASH.
Okay, I got
those
you.
Those are my war movies.
Continue, Trash Panda.
All right,
sorry.
So, and I'll make these last two quick because we should probably break, but I'll go number two. Jurassic Park,
yeah,
for every reason that you had, and then number one, Indiana Jones.
That's cool,
which I have loved
short
as long as I can remember.
Yeah,
no, and I'm not. If I had to pick one, I think I'd pick Raiders of the Lost Ark. But I love all, and I'm excluding the fourth one, which is not canon in my mind, and whatever the hell they do with the fifth
one.
It's
not gospel, it's
they're
not
just
canon.
The first, the three originals are the only ones I'm counting.
Indiana Jones movies just make me smile, just even thinking about them. They're a fun, wholesome adventure.
Any chance to do Harrison Ford would be
short round.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and I will deliver the definitive list.
The cleanup hitter is next.
Yes. All right. We are Saturday Suckage discussing Steven Spielberg.
Can I make my honorable mention?
Yes, please.
The movie Hook. Great movie.
That's a terrible pick. That's the first bad one.
Oh, wow.
No, actually, I haven't seen Hook. I haven't seen it.
I can explain why when we get back.
Okay, yeah, you're going to need to explain that one. That's the first one that I've heard where I'm like,
oh my God, that's a whole Mitch Trubisky thing going on there. It's an Adam Shaheen.
Yeah, take the break.
Right, Saturday Suckage indeed. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Get me Steven Spielberg.
He's unavailable.
Then get me his non-union Mexican equivalent. Listen, Senor Spielbergo, I want you to do for me what Spielberg did for Oscar Schindler.
Schindler es bueno. Señor Burns es el diablo.
Listen, Spielbergo, Schindler and I are like peas in a pod. We're both factory owners. We both made shells for the Nazis, but mine worked, damn it. Now go out there and win me that festival.
There's a Simpsons for everything.
I think that
especially
was even
what Trash Panda is at the controls.
See how you know how good Studs is or Trash Panda? I think that was a request on the text line, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I can't believe I didn't think of that sooner.
Yeah.
Wow, look at him go.
See, my head is so filled with Simpsons references. Sometimes the stream of consciousness, like, it has to be the stream of consciousness to get there, and I just for some reason didn't have it.
You got there. It's all good.
I'm like Les. Like, it's got, I know all these things, but it's got to be in context.
Yes. Or not. Not necessarily. All right. We're listing off our top five Steven Spielberg movies that he had anything to do with. We probably should have included every movie that he's seen, but we don't. we can't nail that down.
That'd be
so
hard.
Anyways, my number five is Bridge of Spies.
Okay. Great movie.
Very personal reason. I worked with Francis Gary Powers. When I was going through college, I worked at a radio station.
Wait, which one was he?
He was the U.S. spy who was shot down, who did not take the poison.
Wow.
He was supposed to.
That's pretty cool.
I worked with him, so it was a very personal reason watching that whole thing. I never knew the history the way it was presented there. And I loved the guy who played Rudolph Abel to Tom Hanks's continuing to ask, aren't you panicked? And he keeps, the Russian guy says, would it help? He just consistently said that. So I loved it. Cause
it's a good movie.
You know what? Because of the truth. The same thing, Catch Me if You Can.
Yeah.
The truth involved.
Yes.
Number
good.
Four, Jurassic Park.
My man.
I wanted that idea to be real. I wanted that. I was buying into it. And
after seeing it, I don't.
No.
Like, no, it's a terrible idea.
Right, but, no, but I know what Steve is saying. Dino DNA?
I went in, yeah. And then I wanted... Newman to die. So something happened.
No wonder why you went extinct.
Number three, Raiders of the Lost Ark, for all that you said, because I seeing Nazi faces melt is wonderful.
So but satisfying.
The best of that was Sean Connery cast as Indiana Jones's dad.
Perfect.
That's Last Crusade, though.
But whatever. It is. Still, he's right.
But it's still
It's part of the lineage.
It's
all, yeah.
It's the same family.
Well, just because you said Raiders of the Lost Ark, so all right.
He's keeping you honest. I'm he's connecting your dots for
I'm
you.
Picking up what you're throwing down.
Yeah.
Number two is Jaws. Because spectacular storytelling, and we're going to need a bigger boat as a line that lasts 40, 50, 60 years. It's going to keep going.
And the pace of that movie. There's something about the slow pace of that movie. It's not in your face. There's so many like kind of creepy shots of the beach and people talking and being happy and eating sandwiches juxtaposed against this killer bloody shark in the ocean.
Right.
So the pacing is just wonderful.
And it was spectacular for whatever problems they had. It was spectacular use of the shark and of killing Bruce the shark.
Yes.
When he fired a shot and blew him up.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And number one, E.T.
Okay.
I still cry at E.T.
Yeah, that's a tough ending, man.
Cried the first time I saw it, and it was on a date with a woman I would marry, and I guess I needed to marry her because she let me cry in front of her.
Aw.
Did not, yeah. So this was, so E.T. remains number one for me, and I will still cry at that movie.
I probably would too, and that's why I won't revisit it, but I do. That is one of those movies that I remember where I was watching it as a youngin. What year did it come out? 80 something or other. So I was an adolescent. I was an adolescent, and I remember seeing it in a packed Woodfield Mall theater. Just like where you barely could get a seat. Like if you're with multiple people, you might have to sit in different places in the theater, because it was a phenomenon. Was E.T. at that time? But I have not watched it since, and I probably would have a hard time watching it.
So I wanted to bring up, I had made five of that would have been next. Lincoln.
Oh, that was Spielberg.
Yeah, was Spielberg. That, oh my God, that was epic.
That is such a great movie. Yes.
And Back to the Future, Poltergeist had been mentioned. The Post, because that's near to
love The Post.
Near to my heart.
Oh, I love those kind of movies.
And then Men in Black, I thought was wonderful. I could get jiggy with Men in Black.
MIB.
Did we completely miss? Okay, so somebody on the text line said the Blues Brothers.
That's Spielberg?
That's what I said. Did we?
I don't think that's Spielberg at all.
Oh, and a texter and Toby emailed me. And
Toby emailed me. That's a sentence.
He emailed me Goonies. So I think we all whiffed on that one.
No, that wasn't a whiff. That was an age-related thing. That was the demographic. Like, you should have brought that up. That should have been you.
That one was
Mark
even,
and I are not responsible for Goonies.
That one was right on the edge for me, because I remember my sister making me watch that movie, but I was already, like, maybe a teenager, and I hadn't seen it yet. And she's like, oh, you got to watch Goonies, and we watched it together. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. So it did miss me. It was more my sister's group.
The whiff would have been Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That was a big money maker, and
I don't think that's a whiff, because honestly, like that doesn't hold up, that movie, does it? Close Encounters of the Third Kind, because wasn't that sort of before technology got it? Like E.T. sort of overtook Close Encounters.
I didn't think it was that great, that riveting. Yeah. That was,
and it might have been
on my list. Obviously, it wasn't on anywhere.
It was considered innovative, but I don't know how great that movie was. So yeah, I never even considered that even as honorable mention.
All right, Saturday Suckage is done for this year. We're going to do Saturday Suckage on Friday, Christmas Eve day. Me and Mark, 5 a.m. Show up. We're taking attendance. Thanks for listening. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.